Good morning.
Morning.
All right, here we go. So as Nathan mentioned, we are in this series. We'll be in it for a couple of months, actually, probably all the way up to December, looking at how the community, the Jesus community in the book of Acts, was quite uncommon. But before we dive into the message for today, I just want to invite our reader up for this morning, and he'll introduce himself and read our verses.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
My name's Aaron, and I've been coming to CIT for about 1 month now. Thank you. And I've been a Christian for just 2 months.
Whoa.
Thank you. So I recently came into the faith after being delivered, called from God, from my LGBT identification, and I also felt called to put God above my ambitions in the film and TV industry. So, without further ado, I'll read from Acts 3. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you very much. So if you've been with us for any length of time at CIT, you know that community is really, really important to us. It's like at the heart of what we're all about. And the kind of community that we want to be is the kind of community that Jesus wants us to be. We want to be filled with the love of God, filled with the welcoming spirit. And so if you're here this morning and you're brand new, I hope you experience that, because that is really our heart. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel loved as you get here. And you know, it's not an uncommon thing for churches to have this kind of loving, warm atmosphere in the walls, in the building, when we're all together. But I feel like there's a challenging word to us in what we see this morning from those verses that Aaron just read. God isn't just interested in us being, just having the love of God here. He wants that love of God to go with us when we leave here. When we engage with our community, our larger community, the love of God should be present with us as well. So you notice, if you could bring up those verses for me again. Notice what's happening here in these verses. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer. So that's what we see from the Jesus followers of that day. They are going into the larger community, and they are engaging with it. And, you know, we saw last week that from Acts 2, 42 to 47, the early Jesus Community Church, they had a really intimate way of being together. But that's not the end of it. That's important to have that. And it's important for us to be able to have this in our community groups and our own private study and worship to God. But that's not the end of it. There's got to be something more. And so what we see with them is that they were going out. They were not this inwardly focused and isolated group. And the reason I mention that is because that's not uncommon for Christians to become. I remember a number of years ago, I was part of a church that was just like that, pretty inwardly focused, pretty isolated from the larger community. And what was interesting about that is that particular church, they did not celebrate Christmas. They did not celebrate Easter. And instead of being with people, being with family members, they would kind of huddle together and have these conferences, and they were just kind of taking care of their own internal thing. But the striking thing about that, as I look back now, is that how many opportunities were missed to just be with people. Like, think about it. When are most people available? Christmas? Easter? The best part about Canada is you actually get a day off. Right? No one gets to work on those days. So it's like, this is the perfect occasion to be together with friends and family and just engage with them. And then what would we do as a church community? We would isolate ourselves from them and we would miss those kind of opportunities. That is not what God is calling us to do. In fact, I remember specifically because my family, my direct family, my mom and dad, they kind of looked at me and looked at my family and looked at the things that we were doing. And let me be honest. You know what they thought about me? You're weird. You're weird. Your church is weird. That is not what God... Okay, there's a difference between being uncommon and being weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes.
God calls us to be uncommon, an uncommon community. That's obviously different, but not this weird kind of thing. And so what you see in the beginning of Acts here is that, yes, they had this community together, a very intimate community together, but they went out. They went out to the temple and they engaged with other people. I know you all know this, but let me just state the obvious. Christmas is coming. Do you know when it comes?
25th.
It's not when Santa comes, so. Well, it is, but anyway. But it's the December 25th. It comes the same time every year. And guess what? We get the day off. So what are we doing here at CIT? We're already planning for not December 25th, but December 23rd. We're already planning how can we engage with our larger community. But we don't want it to just be, okay, bring your friends to church. You should be with your friends, be with your family, engage with them and do some life together with them. Engage with them and enjoy with them. So what's interesting then about this story in Acts chapter 3 is as they engaged with the larger community, look what happens in verse 2. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there, and he was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he could beg from those entering the temple. So when we engage with the larger community, we engage broken people. But before we go much further in that thought, isn't it fair to say everybody in this room is also broken? Can I say that? Everybody in this room is broken in some way. And so for you, you know, maybe your brokenness looks a little different than other people, but maybe you're a father or a mother, and you feel like you're not the father or the mother that you should be. And maybe the reason for that is that selfishness has taken hold of you and you're not being the father you should be to your children. And the sign of your brokenness is showing. But maybe it's not that. Maybe it is that you are a son or daughter and you're not being the kind of son or daughter that you should be. And maybe for you, it's because you're just way too angry these days. And that's another sign of your brokenness. Or maybe you're not the boss or the employee that you should be. And the way that your brokenness is showing up is that you feel you're underappreciated, and it's bringing out a certain attitude in your work. These are all signs of being broken. But there are other kinds of brokenness that we go through as well. We go through the kind of brokenness where we've lost someone that we love dearly. Lost my mom and dad a number of years ago, I remember those feelings of brokenness at that point in time, and it's very similar to that picture that's on the screen right now. You just feel like your whole life, what was clear and complete and intact, has just fallen apart, and you don't know how to put it back together again because it's just not the same anymore. That's our brokenness. And maybe your brokenness is because of a sudden loss of a job and you just feel devastated by what has happened. This man that Peter and John encountered at the temple was broken. And we all get it, that he was broken physically. We know that physically he was not able to get in. But I want to just go away from that for a second. I want to emphasize that this man was broken socially. This man was broken socially. Do you notice what happened? Could we go back again to the verses? The man is being brought every single day to where? The temple gate. Do you ever read of the man going into the temple? You don't. You do at the end of the story, but you don't at the beginning of the story. So think about what this man's life is like. Every single day he's carried to the temple gate. He's placed down. He raises his hand looking for money. And at the end of the day, he's taken home. And the following day, he comes back again. He's placed at the temple gate and he begs for money. And then he goes back home again. What should be striking to us is, why is this man not going into the temple? Think about it. This man is broken. Why is he not getting into that temple where God's presence is and where he can get the real help that he needs? Why is he only going as far as a temple? And that's why I wanted to talk to you about broken socially. Because if we go back to the book of Leviticus, and we're not going to go there this morning, I'm just going to highlight it for you. You go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 21, there was a rule that if you were in the priest's family, and if you were lame, or you were blind, or there was some physical defect that would not allow you to be able to do what a priest does, you were not allowed to go in. You were taken care of in many other ways, but you were not allowed to serve in that way. You could not be a priest. The religious people of Jesus' day had taken that rule that applied specifically to the priests, and they said, this applies now to the whole Jewish people. If you are lame or you are blind, you don't get to go into the temple. Think about that. That's crazy. The people who need help the most, the broken, they need to get into God's presence to get the healing they need. And what's happening? Somebody has made a rule and said, you are not qualified. You sit there and don't go any further. That is insane. The reason I mention this is because I feel like there are... Let me just amend that. I know there are people who will not enter a church simply because of something they have heard or something they have personally experienced. Maybe some of the things that they've heard or experienced is Christians are judgmental. Anybody heard that? Christians are hypocritical. Nobody wants to put their hand up for that one. It's okay. Well, look, just be real. Christians are anti-gay. Come on. There we go. Yeah. Okay, when people say things like that, don't just like, oh, well, that's them, that's not me. No, pay attention. Pay attention to those things because that is the general view that people have who are not Christians. And it may be us, and it may be the things that are being said about us that are stopping people coming to where they can get help. Let me share a couple of examples for you. My wife, Deb, she works as a retail manager, and a number of years ago, there was an event that was happening here at the church, and she works with this openly gay man, and she just felt before the Lord, I need to invite that young man to come to this event. And that was great. But what is eye-opening is his response. He said to her, will your church allow me to go there? Like, just unpack that for a second. You know what that means? He's heard or experienced that you're not welcome. Christians do not welcome openly gay people. Is that true? One of our young youth leaders, she was working at a tea company, and she also had people who were gay working together with her. And what was interesting was, as her colleagues got to know her, and they found out she was a Christian, here's what this one person said to her: "I wish all Christians were like you." Both of those ladies, my wife, this other youth leader, just sharing, engaging with the larger community, sharing the love of Jesus and having the opportunity to say, hey, Jesus loves you, cares for you. But I believe there's others too. Others who have disqualified themselves from coming to a church because they feel unworthy because of their past, things that they have done, because of their present habits or actions, and they can feel pretty ashamed of what has gone on. And maybe some of the thoughts that they're having, real thoughts that they're having in their heart, are things like, God would not accept me. Or, I don't deserve his love. For those of us who are in relationship with Jesus, let me lay something before you. It is our responsibility to engage with our community. Let me say it again. For those of us who are Christians, it is our responsibility to engage with our community, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, so that they can see who Jesus really is and know he restores the broken. Everyone is broken. So when we, even though we might be Christians, even though we go to work, go to school, we're broken. So it's broken people engaging with broken people. We're not higher. We're just like everybody else. We're just broken people. So the interesting thing, let me come back. So that was socially, he's broken. Look at this. He also gets he gets healed physically. But I want to show you. Okay, so here's the interesting thing. Peter and John, they look straight at him, and what do you think he wants from them?
Money.
Yeah, that's what he's there for. He's there for. And look what Peter says. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. But what I do have, that I will give you. In the name of
Jesus.
Okay. I don't have money, but I've got Jesus. I can give you him. I can give you Jesus. And this man believed, and he was physically healed. So it's really, I love this whole thought. So here's a man who every single day is being carried to the temple gate. And every day, what is he looking for?
Money.
Or we might say spare change, you know, because we see this all the time in Toronto, right? Do you have some spare change? Did that man need spare change? Come on. No, he didn't. He didn't. His real need was not spare change. Yeah, he did, because in his lame condition, if he would continue that way, he needed that to survive for the next day so he could go back into. It's like a bad dream that just keeps recurring. You're just doing the same thing over and over again. What that man needs is not spare change. That man needed life change. And that life change doesn't come by us giving a little bit of money here and there. That money, that change comes through who? Jesus. Yeah, the life change comes specifically through Jesus. Why? Because it's only Jesus who can get to the root of the problem. Otherwise, that man is just going to be doing the same thing over and over again. So if you're here this morning and your hand has been out and you've been getting your spare change and whatever that spare change is to get you through, just know that there's another answer. Don't settle for a poor substitute. Don't settle for something less than the best. Don't settle for a temporary fix. Just simply right now, where you are, just say, Jesus, I need you to heal me. Amen. And maybe your healing is not a physical thing, but it's an emotional thing, a psychological thing. It's a spiritual thing. You need healing. Ask Jesus to heal you. And I promise you, not because this is my word, because it's God's word. He promises you, if you receive him, if you ask him, come and heal me, be my Savior, he will do it. He will do it. There is authority in that name, and he will give you new life. Let me show you verses 19 and 20. We did not cover these this morning when Aaron was reading, but I want to help you to see. Because people saw this healing and they're like, what is going on here? We know this man. How is it possible that he's now walking? And Peter says this, repent and turn back. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, but it bears saying again, because sometimes we think about words like repent and we're not quite sure. It is a religious word, but it's not only a religious word. It just means make a U-turn. So I'm going in a certain direction. My life is oriented in a particular way, and it's not going well. And I don't necessarily know that from the very beginning, but as I'm walking down this path, I get it. I'm realizing, okay, this is not going well. And somewhere along the lines, you hear about God. You hear about Jesus. And you just say, I take it. I receive what Jesus has done. And your life makes a U-turn and you start heading, and now your life is aligned with God, and you realize, I'm living a life today that I couldn't have dreamed of living a little while ago. Not because you've turned over a new leaf. That has nothing to do with that. It's God is doing something so deep in your heart. He's renewing you. He's remaking you to be who he always made you to be. And he's clearing up all kinds of baggage that we have. And so look what he says. Repent that your sins may be wiped away. The past dealt with. Aren't you happy your past can be dealt with? Amen. You know, it's really interesting. This word, wiped out, this is what it means. In the old, in those days, they would write on some papyrus or something like that, and the ink never penetrated the material. And so what they would do is to reuse something, they would wipe it out. And guess what you had? A clean slate. Or a clean sheet to work with. That is what Jesus is promising for us. It's not just like, oh, he may do this. It is a promise. Look at this. Repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out. Done. Past done. Completely done. And look at this. Not only that, but that seasons of refresh. Does that sound good? Seasons of refreshing?
Yes.
Right? Seasons? I would take a season sometimes, right? Like a season is good. This is plural. I can get seasons of refreshing. You know what that means? Your life changed. Right? Not only is your past taken care of, now your present and your future is totally different. You're living a life today after you've repented. You're living a life that's not the same as what you did before. Seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Life change. This man had a life change. Okay, then he entered the temple, right? Did you notice the way he entered the temple? Look at the life change that this man went through. Can you go back to the, look at this. So look at verse 8. He jumped up. So Peter and John helped him to jump up. He started to walk and he entered the temple with them. Walking.
And leaping. Praising God.
I was told I should leap, but I'm afraid if I leap, I'm going to lose my microphone. But he was so excited. His life had literally changed. Think about this man. He was carried every single day to that temple gate. And he wasn't just excited that he could now enter into God's presence, which is amazing. But he knew, I don't have to come to this stupid gate anymore. I don't have to have my hand out looking for someone to help me. I've got God. Amen. No wonder the man was praising God.
Amen.
God. No wonder. So he enters in. His life was changed.
Amen.
I want to leave you with two thoughts about how, when we're engaging with our larger community, first of all, what we should be on the lookout for, because these two things are not healthy, and then I'm going to give you two really, really healthy things. So the first one goes like this. What we should be on the lookout for in ourselves if we want to engage our community well. Number one, avoid holy huddles. And you may not know what that means. It just means Christians hanging out with Christians and only hanging out with Christians and only hanging out with Christians all the time. That is not healthy. That is not healthy. If you have a Christian at work, who do you have lunch with? Come on. See? Engage your community. It doesn't mean you can't have lunch with the Christians. Yeah, for sure. But hang out with the other people too. Why? So that they can get a chance to know who God is. I'll tell you what the downside is with your holy huddles. People are suspicious of you. People feel that you think that you're superior to them. So avoid those kinds of things when you're engaging the larger community. Secondly, How many of you are reading your Bible? Hands up. Okay, we need another hand. Okay, ready? How many of you are really reading your Bible? Good. Okay, I didn't check. It's okay. So if you didn't raise your hand, don't worry. But you should be reading your Bible. But sometimes when we read our Bible, you know what the problem is? We become so focused on ourselves and on all of our own progress with God. It's not healthy. And I'll tell you why it's not healthy. Is because when you read your Bible, you should love God and you should love other people. And if you feel like, you know, as I'm reading this Bible and I am a good guy. I think I'm getting better. First of all, something's wrong. But you know, you should love God. If you read the Bible and say, God, I love you so much. Like the way that you've approached me, the way that you've saved me, the way that you're reaching out to people, that's amazing. Love God more. But if you look down on other people, it shows you have arrogance growing in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, be careful of that. Be very, very careful of that kind of arrogance. Two positive things to end with. What should we strive to be as we engage with our larger community? Be real and transparent. I don't know, that seems obvious. But in your relationships with people, and I'm not talking about the person who's walking down the street who says, hey, how you doing? I'm talking about people you're really in real relationship with. Be real and transparent with them. If you are hurting, don't pretend that everything is okay. Let them know, yeah, I'm really, really hurting. Would you pray for me? Would you help me in this situation? Broken people. Engaging with broken people. We admit we need God's help every day. And one last point. In our relationships, give credit where credit is due. What we didn't read in this story is later on where the people who saw this man, they ran up to Peter and John and they made it feel like Peter and John were the reason why this man got healed. But Peter and John wanted everybody to know, this man didn't get healed because of us. This man got healed because of the name of Jesus. So when you are at work and someone says to you, hey, what did you do on the weekend? Just say, nothing. Tell them, I went to church. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I know some people don't like to hear the word church. They don't like to hear the name Jesus. Give credit where credit is due. So when you are, you know, you're moving forward in your career or whatever, you can say, this is because of Jesus. This is because of Jesus. We're going to stop here. We'll have a song in a second, but I just want to remind you of one thing. Community is critical. And today, right after service, we'll have something called Group Link right out in our cafe area. Nate will talk about it a little bit more, but in a sec. All the group leaders will be out there for you to meet. If you are ready to get into community, go and connect with someone that matches the day you're available, the time you're available, the location you're available. Go get connected with them. And maybe you're not quite there yet, and you just need to know what the options are. Go out there as well. Just find out what is going on. Let me pray for us, and then we'll sing. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the help that you're giving to each one of us. And we just pray for ourselves. Lord, we just pray that you would give us the strength as we engage with our neighbors and engage with our colleagues, our classmates, Lord, our family members. God, that we would present you as you really are. God, you are awesome. You keep coming after us. We love you for that. Lord, we want all of our friends to know that you love them in the same way. Amen. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.